What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93. This is Elliot.
This is Shanier.
And, of course, like we've been tweeting all day, we have a very special interview with Lucas Mendez of the Richmond Kickers. But before we get to the interview, we just want to give you guys some quick news updates about what's going on with the Kickers. First and foremost, Akira's red card has been upheld. I think that's the correct term to use.
Yeah, it's confirmed. Yeah. So, basically.
He will miss the TFC matchup, unfortunately. I mean, we kind of knew all along it was going to be a red card. It sucks, but can't really do nothing about it. What I am surprised about, however, is that Herrera
did not get anything. Did not get any kind of disciplinary action.
I mean, he had a full-blown 100-yard sprint.
He had a full-blown 100-yard sprint, and is the reason why the advertisement board went down. Because he went and grabbed someone, his momentum took him into the advertisement board. So, this goes back into, you know, this complaints that it's not just the Richmond Kickers. It's all over the league. Teams, fans, coaches have been complaining about the irregularity and the lack of professionalism from the officials.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to know just what was the ref thought process? I know it was crazy hectic, but after the game, I would just like to know, like, why did he decide not to give that goalkeeper a red card?
Yeah.
That would be my thing. But in positive news, the goal scorer for this week, the Crimson Chin, made the team of the week. So shout us out to my man. This is his third goal so far this year.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be known that when all y'all was out there doubting, I was in that man corner. I was with him, shooting in the gym, said my mans should have been playing up top. Just putting that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you said earlier, I mean, he's been played out of position lately, and it has...
For injury purposes, which we understand.
We understand that because of lack of personnel, he's had to play in different positions, but...
All of his goals came from him
up top. You put him up top, he gives you results.
He has. So, keep it with it. And last thing, real quick, Kickers legend, Sasha Gorez. So, I think it was two podcasts ago. We asked the question, you know, what was the deal with Key White's contract? Because he's about to go to college. Mm-hmm. And so, Sasha hit us up and let us know that it's called a USL Academy contract. USL players who are added to the USL League One roster can sign for an academy contract, which allows them to maintain college eligibility under NCAA rules. Such players, however, are considered full members of the team except for the specific item that would preclude them from being NCAA eligible, like getting paid, which the NCAA needs to fix. There is no reason why I'm playing a sport and I'm not getting paid for it. That's a different topic for a different day. Yeah. He also goes on to say these players must be under the age of 21 at the start of the season, play for the team's academy or youth club affiliate. The Richmond United is the affiliate to the Richmond Kickers Pro Team, and no more than 5 players on academy contracts can be game day on the game day roster. So, I think that's Key White, Sam Moore, Ethan.
Ethan Mannheim and
Living Good.
Yeah, Living Good.
It's one more I feel like, but I can't really remember right now the top of my head. But those are the 4 players that I know the top of my head that are, I believe, might be on.
Yeah, those are the ones that we have seen play.
Yeah.
Either against Lionbridge or North Texas or Orlando City B.
So I kind of interject during the podcast, but I'm really not in the room. So I will go back to not being in the room. For the podcast. So after this quick commercial break or sponsor break, whatever you want to call it, Shanier has a great interview with Lucas Mendez. So check it out. Hey, do you want to know where you can go check out the latest podcast in your favorite MLS, USL Championship, and League One team? Then I would tell you to go check out BGN, Big Beautiful Game Network. The website is bgn.fm.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is Shanier.
This is Elliot.
And here we are, River City 93 Podcast. We got a special guest with us today. Let him know who you are, man.
What's up, guys? I'm Lucas Mendez. Hopefully y'all know who I am. And I'm excited to be on here.
All right. Yeah, for those of you that may not know, maybe some, you know, show up to the occasional game, Lucas Mendez is a Richmond kicker. And for me, one of the most exciting signings we had. And we are going to be asking him a few questions today. So we'll give you guys a little bit of a view inside the life of Lucas Mendez. So first question I wanted to ask you, Lucas, was I know a couple of people that have spent some time in DC United Academy, but I wanted to ask you, what was your experience in the DC United Youth Academy growing up?
That's a good question. I had a good experience. My head coach, Tom Torres, was a great guy. Really believed in me, really believed in everybody in our team. He actually coached me all 3 years while I was there. 1 year in the 16s and then 2 in the 18s. And he really did have my back up until the time that I left. Even now, he still has my back, but I had a good relationship with him. I still do. But after I left, it seemed like a lot of people were not happy with it, and I understand that. But at the end of the day, I had to make the decision that was best for me at the time. And yeah, that's what I thought was going to be the best decision, was leaving the academy.
All right. And so was it your senior year you ended up playing for your high school?
Yeah, my senior year, in the middle of the year, in January, I left the academy to play for my high school team, yes.
All right. And so let's fast forward a little bit to college. Now, you went to UVA. UVA has a very big soccer program, very well-known soccer program around the country. How was it there? How was it, especially coming in your freshman year, coming into such a big college soccer program? How did you adapt? How did you make yourself known, basically, coming in there?
So I think when you're young, you're a bit naive, and you don't even think about, like, oh, I'm leaving high school, going to join this big program. Mm-hmm. It's more just another step in your career, playing the sport that you love to play. So you go in with full confidence. At least I went in with full confidence, going into UVA, feeling good. They're all summer getting fit, so I felt like I was at the level that I need to be when the season started, and it was good. I mean, like I said, the level was good. All players are good around you, so you can only improve.
Yeah. All right, so at UVA, were you always the same position at UVA, or did they switch you around in terms of where you played on the field?
I mainly played winger at UVA. Yeah, mm-hmm. Left wing is like pretty much what I played all the one semester I was there.
All right, and so now we go into FC Baltimore. FC Baltimore. Oh, so now,
I think you missed a step there.
Oh yeah, no, you know, Cosmos. You went to the Cosmos, right?
Yeah, Cosmos first.
Cosmos first. All right. How was that? I know it was the New York Cosmos B team. Now, for those of you that don't know, New York Cosmos may not be on the level of like MLS clubs, but it's got a big history. One of the greatest legends of all time played for the New York Cosmos. What was that like, switching from college soccer to a more professional setting? Did the game change? How did it feel? What was it like for you going from college to professional?
So I signed with Cosmos, and they loaned me down to Cosmos B, and I was training, getting good training, and the level is a step up for sure. I think that the speed of play increased a lot, and I feel like that first year in New York, I needed that. It was really a stepping stone and a really a big learning part of my career. of how to really be a professional. And, yeah, I think it was a great step to go there and then to move on. And, yeah, I think that it really helped me learn to be a professional, learn how to be a professional, learn how to act, how I need to take care of my body so I can be good and play week in, week out.
So real quick, I just want to know, like, how was it living in New York for you? Like, you're coming from Arlington, Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia, and then you have, like, this big move to New York. Like, how was it living there, man?
I love to live in New York. I felt like I'm in D.C. my whole life, close to D.C. my whole life. So, city is kind of my thing. Charlottesville was way off my thing.
Oh, I imagine so.
I can imagine that, yeah.
Charlottesville was way off my thing. But I really enjoyed to live in New York. I mean, I got to experience a bunch of things, you know, that you don't get to experience in D.C. I mean, it's New York. It's huge. There's stuff going on all the time. But, yeah, I really like living there.
All right. So, now, we're going to talk about the club we got you from, FC Baltimore. First of all, that was for one season, correct?
Yeah, one season.
One season. And so now, now that you had at least 1 year of a professional career under your belt, a professional experience under your belt, you went to FC Baltimore. What was that like? I know, you know, Baltimore isn't as big as New York, but it's still a big city, so it probably wasn't, in terms of your environment, correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't that big of a change, but...
not that big of a change. I enjoy Baltimore a lot. From the owners to the coach to the players to the situation to the environment, I did enjoy it a lot. The head coach definitely pushed me, definitely believed in me. And, you know, coming into Baltimore, my goal was to just increase my production. And from going from Cosmos to Baltimore, I definitely did that.
Mm-hmm.
And my team in Baltimore did better than when I was in New York. So I believe that the season that I was there went really well. We could have gone farther. Sadly, we lost. But I think it was another good piece.
All right.
Career for sure.
All right, cool. All right, so now we've kind of gone through what led you here to the Kickers. Everything from...
Oh, one more question. Just want to know. When you was in Baltimore, how were the crabs? Because I need to know this before I go up there.
That is a good question.
Crabs were amazing.
Oh, just wanted to know that.
I mean, you know Baltimore. They're known for their crabs, man.
that crab cake. Yeah.
Oh, man.
For sure.
All right.
So now let's go back to high school. Like, you did one, you said halfway through the year you went from DC United to your high school team. And
yeah, so I played in high school in my senior year only. And in Virginia, it's different with when high school is played. In most other states, public schools play in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But in Virginia, they play in the spring, so I was able to play my first half of the year with DC United Academy and then play in my high school season in the second half of the year.
Okay, so now you play one season. So basically you're playing one season in high school, and in that one season, you're winning Gatorade High School National Player of the Year. Tell me about that. Tell me about how that came about. And one thing I do want to know is, where were you when you got the news? How did you react to it?
So, basically, coming into my high school senior year, I basically left and I had said that I wanted to leave DC United Academy and I wanted to go to my high school and I wanted to win every possible team trophy, every possible individual trophy. That was my goal. And really, the National Player of the Year award, it wasn't really even on my radar at the time because it's just something that you know, you don't even really think about.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I found out when they gave me the award.
Wow.
Just like that. Basically, the day, a few days before that, my coach told me, basically, you're going to have to do, like, this photo shoot. They're going to do this photo shoot for you, just, like, basically telling me it was a part of, like, some other TV show. And I was like, all right, so we did the whole photo shoot. And then, like, the day before I got the award at training, our coach was like, yeah, Taylor Twellman is coming tomorrow to, like, basically talk about concussions. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, Taylor Twellman, he's a huge...
Well, wait a minute, time out. Time out. I'm
gonna tell you. I'm gonna give you why it made sense to me in my head at the time.
I don't need to laugh.
He told me that he was gonna come and talk about concussions because our coach had known him from when they went to college together at Maryland.
Uh huh.
So it had made sense that he was gonna come and speak to us. So basically, he's like, dress nice, everybody dress nice, you know, you're gonna meet this guy. I was like, all right, cool. And so basically I didn't really dress that nice because I was like, we're only about to meet Taylor Twellman. Like, he's a great guy, but I mean, like, I'm not gonna dress up like in suit pants and in a suit, you know, to come meet this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my coach saw me and he's like, Lucas, you need to go change into something nicer than this. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, you just need to change into something nicer. So I was like, all right. So went and changed, came back. Basically, he come in, started talking, ends up giving me the award, takes a few minutes to register what just happened. And then after that, I mean, I started to cry, and it was a great feeling. I mean, I just, at the time, nothing else mattered except that. And, yeah, I mean, that award meant a lot to me, still does.
Wow. See, the reason why I stopped you, I said time out, is because Taylor Twellman was one of my favorite players to watch. I grew up in Boston, so watching New England Revolution, watching Taylor Twellman, watching him, you know, with the Taylor Twellman tally every season, like, so that's big.
And, like, super nice guy, honestly, like, super nice guy, super caring, like, yeah, just really, really good dude.
Wow, that's crazy. Now that's a story.
Yeah, that's a story.
All right. So now, one thing we're gonna switch gears now. So now we talked about all of your accolades and where you played and all of that. So now coming to the Richmond Kickers. How would you describe Lucas Mendez, the player?
Lucas Mendez as a player. He brings a lot to the table. He scores goals. He creates chances. He gets assists. That's what he's done his whole career. And, yeah, he just likes to – he works hard. He's going to train hard every week, every day. And really just give everything he has to wherever he's at.
All right. So before we go into game day situations, how did it come about you coming to Richmond?
So last year I came down and I trained with the team last year for about a week. And David and I felt like we had a pretty good relationship after, you know, the week or 2 weeks that I was down here training.
Mm-hmm.
And then the off season came, and I just felt like it would be a good landing spot, a good next step for my career. Mm-hmm. As you know, Kickers has so much history, I just thought it would be a good stepping stone for my career, and me and my agent basically just came together and spoke about this spot, and then obviously spoke to my agent, and it just ended up being the right fit.
All right, awesome. So, when game day happens, when we get to game day, how do you get ready for a game? And has there been any, like, traditional things that you've done ever since you were little, like, before a game, like, repetitive things that you do before every game? What do you do before every game to get ready?
Man, I'm not superstitious at all. So, like, I don't have any crazy, like, crazy game day routines. I just know that I like to eat a nice meal a few hours before I gotta be in. And then once I get into the locker room, I like to get taped and I like to put my music on and I like to just focus in on, you know, the task and the game that we're about to play.
So let me ask you this. Who are you listening to right now?
Man, I'm all over the place with who I listen to, honestly. Yeah, that's really a tough one because I really listen to so much different types of music and so many different types of people. So, like I said, before games, a lot of people like to listen to a lot of pump-up music. I'm really not that guy. I like to listen to more slow music to relax myself, to relax my mind. That's probably the one thing that is different from me than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just like to listen to more chill, slow, relaxed music to relax my mind and get in the right mindset for the game.
Awesome.
Fair enough.
All right. Yeah. See, I'm the same way. I'm eclectic. Really eclectic. Listen to so many different types of music is ridiculous.
All different.
Nice. All right. So now, for those of you that may not know, Lucas Mendez, during preseason, you had a pretty nasty injury. And you haven't had really a lot of playing time. You're kind of working your way back into playing, and I'm actually glad that Bulow is being cautious with it with regards to your playing time, up like working your way up back in. But with the lack of playing time, what do you do to stay sharp? I mean, because at the end of the day, you're basically in a mode where you're now mostly in practice, moving around. How do you stay sharp and prepare yourself for that moment when Bulow says, Lucas Mendez, suit up?
For sure. I mean, you really just got to stay locked in during trainings. Basically, those trainings and those 11v11s and trainings are your matches until you're able to get that match time. So you really have to take every training session as a game on how to stay sharp and how to be able to get back into that 18 and then get into that 11 and just continue the building process. And you know, I mean, it's tough being out for a long time. There's always going to be some rust when you come back. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just trying to stay locked in every day, during training and doing as much as possible, trying to stay healthy and grinding and staying focused. So when my number does get called on, I can bring everything I have to the table and try to help the team win.
All right. So speaking of your number, 97. Is there a story behind that?
Nah, I mean, through my whole life, I've either worn 10, 7, or 11. So I came, those three numbers were taken, and I was like, you know, I really like the way 97 looks. It's my birth year, so that number means a lot to me.
All right.
That's such an odd
number.
Yeah,
obviously, it's my birth year, so 97,
yeah,
it's nice to me.
I mean, of course, it is. It's just odd.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, at least it's got a meaning behind it. That's good.
I think the number, like, 84 or something like that threw y'all way off.
I thought Patrick just ran out of numbers on the day. It was just like, here you go, Lucas, here's a jersey.
So your preferred position is left wing, right?
Preferred position? I don't know if I would say that's my preferred position. I don't know if I necessarily have a preferred position. I've played, you know, all different positions, left wing, center forward, attacking mid. So I think all three of those positions I can help the team out in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you look at me, you don't see the traditional center forward that's going to hold up play and win lots of headers and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I can play a different type of center forward that can bring something else to the game. I can play left wing the way I normally play left wing, and I can play attacking mid and create lots of chances. So really, really, I'm comfortable in any of those attacking positions.
Okay. Awesome.
So, since being in the city of Richmond for give or take 6 months, how has the city been for you? Like, are you still trying to adjust to it, or are you like, yo, this is probably like my home for the next couple of years?
I enjoy the city for real. I mean, there's obviously it's a lot different than where I used to live. I mean, for me, DC and New York is just another level of busy. And then I came here, and this is like busy, but it's not busy to the point where it's like too much.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it. I mean, there's lots to do. There's lots of good places to eat. I mean, I can't complain. I enjoy the city a lot.
Where's your favorite place to go eat at?
Man, you're gonna kill me on this one.
Please don't say McDonald's.
I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite place, but a place that I've come to grow and like enjoy a lot is it's called Bodilla's. Bodia's, you know.
Okay.
Bodia place over there by VCU. That place is real good to me.
It is. That's a great place.
Yes.
I ain't gonna lie. They probably make the best quesadillas in the city.
They do.
What do you usually get?
Man, I've literally been trying to try most things on the menu, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. That's some place I still struggle to do that. I still struggle. I go there, I'm like, I'm going to try something new, and I get the same thing.
Of course. But, I mean, everything there has been so good. I was like, man, I got to see what's the best and then make my normal what I think is the best. So.
Yeah.
So, real quick, like, this past weekend, the Kickers got their first win in a long time. You know, how was the locker room right after that? I mean, the parking lot was pretty hype. I mean, granted, it was 105 degrees, but how was the locker room after you guys got the win?
The locker room was hyped. I mean, that's a big win for us. I mean, we all still believe in each other. We believe in what we're doing. So that win just showed us that what we're doing is in the right direction, and we really think that we can turn the season around, and we really do still believe in what we're doing, and we still believe in each other and the people around us. So I think that win was big for us.
Okay. Nice. Well, that's what's up, man. I mean, you know, we're definitely rooting for you, man. It was great seeing you at the Lions Bridge game. It was kind of weird. Like, the whole Red Army kind of just got excited to see, like, Lucas Mendez coming to the field.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to lie. Like, I didn't even know you were a Gatorade National Player of the Year. So, from now on, that's what I'm going to refer to you as. Mr. Gatorade. So, don't be surprised about that.
I have one more question for you. So far this season, what is your funniest memory with the team?
Funniest memory with the team? Gosh, you're gonna make me think real hard.
You make the team sound so boring.
Nah, there's just so many. There's so, honestly, the locker room is just so great that there's honestly so much funny things happen literally every single day in the locker room. So I don't know if I can pick one thing. I just think that we honestly got a good group of guys that, you know, genuinely enjoy being around each other. So there's just so much fun stuff that happens every day that it's hard to pick out one moment.
Alright. Well, I do have one question. Who's the best at social media? Who is like the guy that you guys have to teach to use social media?
The best at social media is probably, I would have to say, is Joe Gallardo.
I figured.
I would have to say that. And then the people that we have to teach, I mean, Chinny doesn't even have an Instagram, so we're going to have to get on Chinny on that one. but I think most guys know what they're doing, but Obviously, the older guys are going to be not for it, and the younger guys are going to be all for it, so.
I feel you. That's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. All right. Oh, how was the... I mean, the Durant Army was at practice earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
How is it normally with, like, David Buelow? Like, what kind of things he's trying to teach you? You know, granted, you haven't had a whole bunch of playing time. We went over there earlier, but, like, how is Buelow keeping you engaged and other players that might have nagging injuries and that's coming back? How is he keeping you guys engaged throughout the year?
Yeah, he likes to keep us very engaged still around all the guys that are playing because really when you get injured, you tend to isolate yourself because they're injured. You're not playing. You're not doing what anybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's just really gotten on us, him and Mika both. Actually, I've really gotten on, you know, make sure you stay around the guys. Make sure you're still engaged during training, watching the training, trying to understand and still learn. So when you come back, it's going to be an easier transition from off the pitch to back on the pitch.
Okay. All right. So now I'm going to ask you a question that's a little more geared towards preparing the youth for what it's going to be like on a more professional or collegiate level. I'm curious, how did you guys deal in terms of in practice with the past couple of weeks of like extreme oppressive heat?
Yeah, I mean, geez, that's a good one. Lots of hydration, lots of eating right, electrolytes, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Because I mean, every training you lose a lot of water from your body. So really, the hydration is the most key part of all that, and making sure that after training you're recovering. Doing the right things to help your body continue to train at that level in 100+ degree heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I didn't go to the Orlando's the game on Saturday, the Orlando City B game. I watched it on TV at home, and I mean I saw Elliot in the stands over there. He was telling me that for the first time in Red Army history, they sat down.
I think it was extremely hot against Orlando. Luckily, these past 2 days of training, they've been cool.
Yeah.
Because of the rain yesterday, and I guess it carried over a little bit, being a little bit cooler today than it has been. So, I mean, besides that, I mean, it's hot. Train limits that hot, but really, you know, you got to just be mentally ready to just push through all that.
Does Buelow kind of take a little bit of foot off the gas during that time when it's really, really hot, or does he keep going business as usual?
Not take anything off the gas. It's still 100% intensity all the time, but if it's hotter, he'll try to make the trains a little bit shorter than they would be.
Mm-hmm.
Same intensity, just a little bit shorter so we're not all dying out there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so, one more question. So, are you feeling like you are at like 100 in terms of ready to play again, or do you feel that you would need more time before you would do a full 90?
Full 90, I'm not there yet. Coming onto the pitch as a substitute, I definitely feel like my fitness is there. And obviously, the more minutes I get, the sharper I'm going to get. So, mm-hmm. like I said, when David calls my name, I'm gonna be ready to give everything that I got.
All right. All right.
All right, man. Well, Lucas, can you let everyone know where they can follow you at? I mean, you do have a pretty dope Twitter page that I follow, so let everyone know where they can follow you at, yeah, man.
For sure, it's @_LM97 on both Twitter and Instagram. I don't use Twitter that much, so the Instagram is going to be the one that's going to be more popping, probably. but it's @_LM97 on both.
All right, man. Well, look, we thank you for being a big supporter of us, man. Like, you were, like, one of the first players that came up to us and let us know, like, you listened to us and whatnot. And we just say thank you so much for coming on. This is an interview that we've been dying to do, man.
Yes,
so
definitely.
Thank you so much, man.
Of course, of course. course, man, I'm a huge fan of what y'all do, and I do appreciate how much support that y'all give us during the season, even when we're going through hard times. And it really does mean a lot to the whole team and does help keep our spirit up knowing that we have, you know, a great fan base behind us.
All right.
Well, go on and enjoy the rest of your day, man, all right?
Sounds good. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all having me on here.
No problem. All talk right. To you later, man.